to build positive self-esteem. For me, I struggle with low self-esteem. I've struggled with low self-esteem for my entire life. It's been an ongoing battle. And my father-in-law is a very honest man, and he's been part of the Church of Christ for his entire life. And at this point, he's probably heard somewhere near 1,000 sermons and 1,000 lessons. And he is not afraid to tell you how he feels about your sermon. It doesn't matter if this is your first sermon or your 1,000th sermon. He's going to tell you honestly what he feels. And when he comes up to me, though, and he says, "Hey, you did an excellent job," even though I know that he's telling me the truth, I think to myself, "Oh, well, he's just being nice. He's just being a good father-in-law. He's just being friendly." And so then I start turning that thought in my head, and that's called a self-defeating thought. And eventually then I pick out one part of my sermon, a scripture that I read incorrectly. I messed up a name in the Bible, and you know, some of these names in the Bible are tough to pronounce. But I pick out that one thing that I messed up, and I start turning that in my head. And then eventually what happens is I've kind of ruined the whole sermon that I've done. And I think, well, I'll get it better next time. And meanwhile, people are saying that it's a good lesson, it's a good sermon. So today, I want us to look at some ways, some tips that I have for helping build positive self-esteem in our own lives. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, and those are so we can get a base of what God's Word says about building positive self-esteem in our lives. And so then you can go back later if you're feeling low, you're feeling not confident. You can go back and you can look at those scriptures and they can help remind you of the things that you should be doing. But also I'm going to give you a practical application, a practical way, and a way to apply it to your life so that you can leave here today and actively start building positive self-esteem. And when we do this, when we do these small set of tips, we can start building ourselves to be more confident people, but we can also become more confident Christians. And this, I know that there's people out there that have never had struggles with low self-esteem, but there are those around you still that do struggle with low self-esteem, and you can be an encouragement for those people, and you can look after them and help them build their positive self-esteem. So first, and I really appreciated the lesson that we had this morning, thank you, because it dealt with a lot of the works that we do, and a lot of what I have is talking about faithful works. And so first thing that we need to do is remember why we work. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." We need to remember that everything that we do it for the Lord. That could be something as like preaching or teaching kids classes or teaching the class period that we have. Or it could be song leading. It could be security over the building. It could be cleaning the building. But it also could be our work that we do outside the church. It could be going to our regular jobs, our 9-to-5 jobs. It could also be housework, working around the house, cleaning. It also could be schoolwork for our young people that are still in high school or even younger than that. Whatever we do it in a manner for the Lord and to please the Lord and not to just please man. Because there's plenty of people out there that they aim to just simply please their bosses. But we should be working in a manner that pleases both our bosses and man. Because the funny thing, and God. And the funny thing is once we start working and we do it for the Lord, our work tends to get that much better. And we rise above those people that are just working to please the people around them. And because we work that much better and we are shining our lights to those around us through our work, people start to not like us. They start to despise us. They start to hate us. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 through 36, it says, "For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household." This verse is saying that not only are the people out in the world, but there will be people in your own families that won't like you because you're shining your light. You're doing your work for the Lord. They won't understand why you're doing it. And that's not the case for everybody because there are those around us that have families that are faithful Christians. But some of us, like me, have a lot of family that aren't faithful Christians. They are living a worldly life. And they don't understand the reason why I even come to church, come to services on a Sunday morning when I could be doing anything else. They despise and hate the fact that I do that. And some of them, I could argue, even despise and hate me because I do it. And then in Mark chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Because of we're working in the name of the Lord, for the Lord, we will be hated. And I like this verse because it says everyone. It's not just some people. It's not just a few here and there. But everyone, every worldly person will not like us because of our work in the name of the Lord. If you're shining your life, if you're light and you're acting as one of the saved, not participating in worldly acts as they do, people will despise you. But it's worth going and pursuing and working through that hate, knowing that it's building endurance so you can run the race longer. But also because you know that you're working for the Lord. You're working to please God and not to please man. So my practical application for this one is find what you love to do and do it for the Lord. And I know some of us are retired, and so you're asking, okay, well, what can I do? There's always some work to be done. There's something that you can do even as somebody who's retired. You can go out and still preach the gospel. You can still go out and do works for God. But before I got into preaching, I was in the medical field. I spent about 6 years as an EMT for 2 different private ambulance companies. And I loved it. I thought that's what I wanted to do. But there's those around us in the medical field that they self-proclaim that, well, swearing is my first language. Gossip is my second language, and then English is finally my third language. And that's how they act. And in order to shine your light, you don't participate in the things that they do. You don't swear like they do. If they start gossiping, you say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and you walk away. You don't participate in that gossip. And you stand out to those people. Why do you act different than I do, is what they say to themselves. And you're shining your light. So find what it is that you love to do, whatever it is, and go do it. And then find what how you can shine your light to those around you. It could be as simple as showing up on time every time you're scheduled. And I know we think to ourselves, well, what do you mean? People show up on time all the time, and they're never late. People are never late. No, people are late all the time. I had a coworker one time that showed up 15 minutes late consistently every single shift. Then the bosses decided, okay, we'll just move her shift back 15 minutes. Guess what? She showed up 15 minutes late to that. People do it, show up late, but you show up on time when you're scheduled. You're starting to shine your light. People, well, why don't you ever call off? I mean, if you're sick, then by all means, don't go into work. But if you can be there, that you're showing Christ through them in just a simple manner. And then as simple as opening up your Bible and reading it when you have a break or a lunch or taking the time out of your day to it when you have some time to read God's word or praying before you eat meals or excusing yourself when they start participating in immoral acts. By doing that, you're shining your light. You're representing Christ through your actions, and you're representing your faith through your actions. So find what you like to do, what you love to do, and do it for the Lord. And when you start doing things for the Lord, your work gets better, and you grow more confident knowing that you're doing it to please God and not just to please those that are around you. You become more confident in what it is that you're doing. Second, take joy in your work. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 says, "There's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God." Solomon here in Ecclesiastes is telling us to celebrate, to take time and step back from our works, whatever that work is, and look on it and say it's good. We can see God does it. God created the heavens and the earth. He's created all the animals and he's created man. And yet in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God took a second to look on what he had just done, and he saw that it was good. He took joy in what he just created. Like I mentioned, whatever our works might be, whether they be something in services, or whether it be something outside of services in your daily lives, we should feel good about our labor. We should feel good about our hard work. And don't worry, there's always going to be somebody that tries to critique our work. They might come up to you and be right on, tell you, you know, this is what I think you need to do better. And you say, okay, thank you, I'll try that next time. And then there's going to be people that come up to you and they're totally way off base. But you know what you do when they come up to you and they tell you something and you're like, man, you're not even close. You say, thank you. I appreciate your feedback. I'll take it into consideration. And you leave it at that. Because you know that your work that you did was still good. And you don't let anyone discourage your work. But you definitely don't let yourself discourage your own work. Remember when I talked about self-defeating thoughts, things that turned in my head to defeat the sermon that I gave? You don't let yourself get those self-defeating thoughts where you say, man, that was a good job. And then you start thinking that one thing that you did wrong, because you're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect people. We're going to make mistakes. But you don't let that one thing ruin your whole labor. My practical application is set appropriate rewards for yourself. We tend to set goals for our lives. And when we look, we set these giant, massive goals for our lives. And we say, there's no possible way I can climb that mountain. For me personally, at the beginning of the year, I set a goal for myself. I wanted to lose 100 pounds before my birthday in July. And when you look at a goal like losing 100 pounds, you say, there's no possible way I can do that. There's no way I can climb that mountain. But instead, what I did is I set a smaller goal. I set 10 pounds. I can reach 10 pounds. I can reach 10 pounds just by not eating. I can reach it in a couple days. But I can reach that 10 pound. And what I did is I set a reward for myself, an appropriate reward. So then when I reach that 10-pound loss mark, I can reward myself and see that what I have done is good. And I can go back and I can continue to lose the weight. And then I set a 25-pound goal. And then I set a 50-pound goal, well, 40-pound goal, and then a 50-pound goal. And then I set a 75-pound goal, which I have not yet reached. But then I've also set a 100-pound goal. And so to give you what I've done is at 10 pounds, I rewarded myself with a card game that I play. Something quick and easy, just that simple reward to make me feel like I can keep going. At 25 pounds, it was a lunch and a movie date with my wife. And then at 40 pounds, I rewarded myself with a trip to a wing place, the chicken wing place. Now, that's still on my diet. Don't worry, I'm doing high protein, so it's okay. But then 50 pounds, I rewarded myself with disc golf gear. At 75 pounds, I set it for it. I think it's a video game. At 100 pounds, I'm going to buy myself a Cleveland Browns jersey. I am a Cleveland Browns fan, so it's okay. But I mentioned to set appropriate rewards. That means if I lost 10 pounds, what if I said, okay, my appropriate reward is to eat a box of donuts? Okay, so all the work that I just did is for nothing. But also, we should set appropriate rewards to avoid things that might cause us to sin or to live in that brief immorality. Instead, we should set goals that are appropriate, that will help us, that will encourage us to keep going, to keep being able to go forward. And it's something as small, if your job is, I want to clean my house, set a reward for washing the dishes, for washing the clothes, for vacuuming. If your job is to get a promotion, if that's what your goal is, set it just a reward for getting praise from your boss, getting a meeting with your boss, getting whatever. Set small goals that you can reach in your life. And then reward yourself for hitting those goals. And if it's something like evangelizing, set a goal as simple as, well, I'm going to go up and talk to somebody new at church today. Or I'm going to at least go and say hello to somebody that I have not met yet. Or I'm going to say God bless you to somebody that's handing me a coffee cup. And then when you do that small goal, increase it. Increase the difficulty. I'm going to sit down and talk to somebody about Christ today. I'm going to sit down and invite them to church today. I'm going to do whatever it is. Then reward yourself for taking that small step. And by doing that, you can keep moving forward. And by doing that, You can build your confidence knowing that your labor, whatever your labor is, it is good and it is worth doing. Third, build positive relationships. Whether we like it or not, the people around us, the people that we surround ourselves with, they have a great influence on our life. And if we're surrounding ourselves by people that constantly are beating us down, that are constantly belittling us, that's making us feel like we're not important, that we're not worth it in life, that's how we're going to feel. That's how we're going to feel. We're going to go out into the world and feel like, oh, we're not important. We're insignificant in the grand scheme of things. We're nothing. Why should I even be here? Is sometimes what we think. And so we're encouraged to grow positive relationships. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're told to be building up one another, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly. This means to not just show up and punch your time card, sit in a pew and hear the sermon, and then jet out of here as quickly as you possibly can. This means to fellowship, to talk and communicate, encouraging one another. The other day, I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw this list of rules that a preacher had posted. And it's three rules that he has set for himself when he goes to services. And the first rule is, an alone person in our gathering is an emergency. If there's somebody sitting off by themselves, that's an emergency, especially if it's a new person. Because I talked to a bunch of non-Christians one time, and I asked, what is the one reason why you don't go to church? And their reply was, I went to a church one time, and nobody said anything to me. Nobody said a word to me. That's a problem. A new person should have a flock of people around them. Excuse me. I joke about it, about East Tacoma. We tend to get out at 11 o'clock is when we end services. But we talk until 12. And so I say, if you have plans at 12 o'clock, you better reschedule them for at least 1, 2 o'clock. Because you're not going to get out of there, especially if you're a new person. And that's how we should all be treating new people. There should be people around us, around them, communicating with them, saying, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you took the time out of your day to come and be with us, and encouraging them. The second rule is, friends can wait. Your friends are there, and they will always be there for you. If you have a friend that's going to be upset that you didn't take a second to say hello to them at services and said you went over to somebody, then probably rethink that friendship. Sorry. But seriously, friends can wait. You can text your friends later. You can hang out with your friends later. You can encourage your friends later. But somebody that's been, there can be a new person or maybe somebody that has been coming for a while that you have yet to meet. Go up and say hello to them. Ask them what you can pray for them for. Just encourage them in some way. Tell them that you love them and you're glad that they're there. The third rule is, introduce a newcomer to somebody else. Like I said before, the biggest thing that people say that the reason why they didn't come to or they stopped coming to church, or that they came and they stopped, is because nobody talked to them. Well, if you go up and talk to them, and then you introduce them to somebody else, and you say, hey, this is my friend Jim over here. He's really, you know, he'd love to meet you. Now they've met two people. And then if Jim introduces them, now they've met three people. And they can't walk away saying, well, nobody talked to me, because they've talked to at least two people. But they've started to form a relationship. And maybe it's something, you talk to a new person, they say, man, I've been really down on my luck. I've had car trouble. And you say in your head, hey, here's Jim over here. He's a mechanic. He would love to talk to you about your car trouble. He might even be, you don't say this to them, but you think to yourself, he might even want to fix your car. And you say, here, let's go talk to Jim. He would love to hear about your car issues. But by doing this, you're building these positive relationships and you're helping others build their positive relationships. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When we're together, when we're building positive relationships, this isn't just for the men, but also for women as well. You're sharpening each other like a sword. So then when we leave the church building, when we leave the building, we're sharp and we're ready when attacks come. We're ready when our battle starts. And we can stand up for our faith because we've been built up, we've been sharpened, and we've been encouraged. So my practical application is spend time with the saints outside of services. It's great to come and fellowship with people here. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that at all. But take time and be with people outside of services. Check in on them. For me, since we moved up from Monroe or down from Monroe to Kent, I've been blessed because I've been able to hang out with these guys that Aaron was friends with, and they have this men's Bible study. And I'm so encouraged by them because we get together and we talk about things that are struggles in life, but also we talk about the Bible, and it's encouraging. It's so encouraging because, and you leave there feeling strengthened, even if we're talking about something that makes you slightly uncomfortable. It's still encouraging. And so, I take the time to go do it, but sometimes in life, you know, you get busy. And you say, well, I don't have time to go hang out with anybody. I have work, and then I have to get home and make dinner, and then I have to take care of the kids. And I just don't have time. And I'm not talking about going out and doing a 4-hour, 3-5-hour Bible study, but simply a phone call, 10-minute phone call. Call one of the saints and say, hi, how are you doing? Is there anything that you need prayer for? Going out to coffee for a half an hour. Say, I got 30 minutes that I can spend with somebody out to coffee. Or go for a walk with them around a park. It's starting to get nice out. There's no reason to be, you know, inside when it's such a nice sunny day. But encourage the saints. Because not only will you start building that positive relationship that's going to help you when you feel low and when you feel have low confidence, but you're going to be able to strengthen them as well. And you're going to be able to encourage and build them up and strengthen them. So then when they walk away, they know, I still have a friend. I have a friend who I can go to and I can talk to when I feel like I'm in trouble. And it's not just good for you, but it's good for them as well. If we can do this, if we can have positive people around us, when we feel down on ourselves, when we feel like we have that self-defeating thought in our head, we can look at them and know that they're going to tell us the truth about, and they're going to help us through our needs and through our struggles. By doing that, we can build our confidence knowing that. And last, realize your worth. This is a tough one for people with low self-esteem. This is a tough one for people with low confidence because they feel like they are worthless most of the time. Especially someone like me who has struggled with it for my entire life. Sometimes I get so low, I feel like I'm nothing. I'm insignificant. And so it's hard sometimes to sit back and realize that I am worth it, that I do have a worth. And sometimes we're doing all the right things. We're taking joy in our work. We're doing the right things for God, and we have good, healthy relationships. But when we still have those self-defeating thoughts and we still drag ourselves down and we discourage ourselves. And no matter what we do, we can't get past that mindset. So we need to be reminded that we are worth it. In John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most famous verses from the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world. That is everyone. That is the entire world. That is us. That is me. That is you. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to come down to earth. And Jesus spent 33 years here. In the last 3 years of his life, he spent preaching salvation, and he preached the kingdom of God and what it takes to get to the kingdom of God. Then he went to the cross and he died on the cross for our sins, to take away our sins. And then he rose from the dead. But when he died on that cross, he did it so that one day we can gain eternal life. So one day we can spend eternity in heaven with God. That's how much God loved us. That he wanted to spend eternity, that he wants to spend eternity with us. And so he sent his one and only Son to die on that cross for us. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Here we find the price, the worth of the sparrow. Two sparrows are sold for a cent. That's how much they're worth. And yet the God and Father who has created all, that has set everything in motion, he has taken the time to number the hairs on your head. My son Matthew, he has more hair now, but before he had maybe 10 hairs, but yet I still did not take the time out of my day to count his hairs. And yet God has. God knows how many hairs are on your head. If you're feeling worthless, we just need to keep that in mind. That God, the Father of all, has loved us so much, and he cares for us, and we are so worth it to him. He wants to spend eternity with us so much that he would send his own Son to die on the cross for us. And so this week or the next few weeks, or whenever you're feeling low, whenever you're feeling not confident, realize your worth. Take a second and read in your Bible all the things that God has done and all the things that God has done for us. God wants us. And that's why he's done all these great works, to set everything in motion for us. And then take that, when you read that, take that and look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am worth it. And by doing that, you can build your confidence. Realizing that you're worth it, you're worth keeping going. Amen. You're worth it. 85% of people deal with low self-esteem at some point of their life. And that excludes the people that have maybe a couple hours of low self-esteem. They struggle with it for a couple months, a couple days, a couple years. They struggle with it. 85% of people. And these tips that I've given you are just a small portion of, I could go on all day. I won't, obviously, but I could. Because I want you to leave here feeling like if you are struggling with low self-esteem today, you could leave here and start building up your positive self-esteem. I want you to leave here and feel encouraged. And I want you to know that if you're struggling, God loves you. God cares for you. And you're worth it to him. And not only does God love you, but all these saints that are here today, they love you. They care for you. They want to encourage you in some way. They want to build you up and strengthen you and look after you and help you through this struggle. And I know that doesn't apply to everybody, but if it doesn't apply to you, if you say, I've never struggled with self-esteem issues ever in my life, you have a duty then still. You have to go and encourage somebody that does have low self-esteem. And you have to help them and strengthen them as well. But now I ask, if you have any spiritual needs, if you need prayer for anything, or if you are ready to become a Christian, if you are ready to make that commitment to God and become a Christian, please come forward as we stand and sing 750.